Well, I broke out my phone here because you know I can't start without starting with a dad joke. So I gotta find him. People are like, what? He does dad jokes? Yes. That's my thing, I guess. So you guys ready? All right. A snail goes to buy a car. A snail goes to buy a car. The salesman is surprised when the snail picks out a fast, expensive sports car. He's even more surprised when the snail requires that a big red S be painted on both sides. Why would you want such a thing? Asked the salesman. The snail replied, I want people to say, look at that escargot. Whew, that was a good one. I liked it. One more? Did I hear somebody say knee slapper? Lost my job at the bank on the first day. A woman asked me to check her balance, so I pushed her over. I'm bad at math. I don't work at banks, so I don't think that really would happen. Hey, we're going to jump right in, guys. The title of my message today is With Every Season Turn. Dot, dot, dot. I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes real quick, Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. You don't have to turn there, you can just listen. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. At a time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stone to stone gather together, and time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Does this sound familiar to anybody? What if I added, with every season, turn, turn, turn. Now, what's interesting to me is that I'm not the best singer out there, but I thought I'd throw that out there. That song has been playing through my head all week long. All week long as I prepared for this message today. And as I thought about it, I've seen this song and heard this song played on movies, TV shows, different things that I've been around it, and I've not really understood it, but I don't know if we understood that it was actually scripture. The writer of this came up from the Bible. Now let me point out a few things real quick. So I don't pretend to be a music trivia expert. However, the song has been running through my mind. See, the Byrds, a rock band from back in the 60s, they came up with this song, and it has been used, as I said, in TV shows and to evoke memories of the 1960s, such as Forrest Gump, you've heard it in. You've maybe watched it on the old show, the TV show Wonder Years. Here's a little bit of history. The song reached number one in the US in December 1965. That year, American ground troops arrived in Vietnam. Men on certain campuses burned their draft cards. Black civil rights activists withstood fire hoses and police dogs. And President Lyndon Johnson promoted his great society reforms. And this group of shaggy-haired young men pressed the nation to turn, turn, turn. And accept that change is inevitable. History is a cycle, strife is temporary, and to everything there is a season. Change happens. There is positive change and there's not so positive change, right? Can by the raise of hands, does anybody like change? Some change, right? Some change is good, some change is not so good. I'm going to bring up a friend of mine, my colleague. CJ, do you mind coming up? I'm going to kind of talk about something. I'm going to show you. You guys know, or some of you guys might know, that I coach football. And I had the opportunity last week to work with our school's football camp, and that was so life-giving for me. In football, there's so many different things that can be taught. There's philosophy football. There's the style of football. There's history of football. There's so many different things, fundamentals of football. And as a coach, I really like sports. Now, I'm not a basketball guy. You can tell I'm not about running up and back and down a basketball court. I don't run back and forth much. But I was thinking about this, and kind of the idea of this thing is when you're in a sport and you're in basketball. Now, CJ's our resident basketball pro expert. He's actually one of our basketball coaches on the school campus. And he knows basketball really well. Me, I don't. I know that there's defenders. I know that there's offensers.
Offenders?
Here's what I know. When in basketball, I know that when the offense is going towards the defense. Now, remember, I am a football coach, so I'll probably keep reverting back to football statements and illustrations. But if you're driving, did they call it driving the lane? Doing, you know, is there things like that?
Something like that, right? Hook, drive.
Do you drive the lane? Do you drive to the basket? Drive to the key? I know some terms.
Okay.
I've been out there listening to you. That's why. But I coached middle school girls basketball up in Sacramento, not knowing a thing about it. That was fun. I was like, hey, do you know what they're talking about? Cool, then do that. Anyway, when you're on the offense and you're trying to drive for to make a goal, mm-hmm. make a basket. I know, I'm doing
make
that on purpose.
Okay.
To a home run, right? So, as you come towards the defender,
yes.
You see that this defender is going to come at you, right? And mm-hmm. and here, I'll post up. Post up, is that right? No?
Sure.
Yeah, help me out. You're supposed to help me out here. Offense, you're going to come at trying to make your score and make your basket, right? So if you're coming driving the lane, go ahead and kind of walk it out because I'm still injured. So I come here. What's your move? What do you do?
Crossover.
Crossover. Is there a word called pivot in basketball?
We could do that also.
Okay. What else could you do?
Like you said, pivot. So we'll do this. Pivot.
Yeah.
Spin around.
All right. Look at that. Ooh. Wow. Is that breaking ankles, right? Is that what they say? Breaking ankles? I got to be careful. That could have really hurt me. So what else? What other things are there when you're being faced with a defender?
We have something called a triple threat where we...
A triple threat?
Yes.
Ooh, what's that look like?
We fake a pass.
Yeah.
We fake a shot.
Okay.
Or I just blow by you, take off around
blow you. By you?
Yes.
Is there ever a time... So you fake a what? A pass?
Fake a pass.
So it's to get me to kind of go like this, right?
Exactly.
Or fake a shot, so it's going to get me to go kind of try and get up in front of you.
Correct.
Or to just blow past me, right?
Yep.
Is there ever a time where you just press in?
On offense?
On offense, where you just keep pressing to get by him?
Or
what's it called?
Volleyball.
Okay.
Volleyball.
But
back him down, yeah.
Right, back him down, right? But
back
you keep...
Back him down.
go ahead and try. But actually, right now is probably a good time. You know, I'm still recovering. So you could be. I've seen, maybe in movies, shows, watch it on TV. But they actually kind of press in their bodies and they keep kind of pushing, right?
Yep. Lean against.
Would that still be some way that we could even apply that to how we take on things in our lives that are obstacles or changes?
Definitely.
Press in.
Press in.
Move around it. Pivot. Thanks, bro. Let's give him a hand. Look, I'm talking about changes. If you haven't been able to tell, there's seasons of change. There's things that come at us that we're not expecting. There's things that are coming at us that we are expecting that are changes. And it's hard to know how to handle that. Listen, folks, if you haven't gathered by now with the few times you've heard me speak, that I speak on things that are going on with my life right then. And so most of the time, I'm probably speaking to myself. I think I've said that more than I'm speaking to you guys. So please gather whatever you can out of what I say. because I really feel like this is what's been laid on my heart to share with you guys today. Change happens. It's going to happen. We don't like it. We don't always feel comfortable with it. In fact, most of the time, it makes us feel uncomfortable. The only thing you can predict about the future is that tomorrow will look different from today. You might still go to the same job. You're going to wake up with the same family or same roommate or same neighbor. You're going to still do the normal things, but somehow something's going to change. The next day is not going to be exactly the same. And how we approach that and how we take that and how we understand that is what's going to make us the people who we need to be. Rick Warren, founder of Saddleback Church, said, "There is no growth without change. There is no change without loss. There is no loss without grief. And there is no grief without pain." God can use change in your life to make you a better person. But there won't be any growth without pain. Now, there's different degrees of pain, and I get that. I understand that you're kind of probably wondering what I'm talking about. I'm going to be a little bit vulnerable today, and pardon me if I don't get through it so smoothly. For the past many years, actually, I have been and I'm diagnosed and with type 2 diabetes. I have most recently dealt with a fractured kneecap, which kind of has in turn caused a little bit of a different movement in my gait, in the way I walk. So I went on a wonderful, wonderful trip with my family. We got to do and build wonderful memories. And I had the cool opportunity to take my son and daughter to California Adventure, where my son met his hero, Cuckoo Queen, which is Lightning McQueen. Nice. And you should have seen his face. In my mind, as I played this out, I thought, oh, he's going to see Lightning McQueen, Cuckoo Queen. And as he comes up, he's just light up and want to run to him and hug him. And I saw this whole like slow motion run of my child where he might stumble and fall on him. But as I got to that point, here was my son's reaction. It's Cuckoo King. Cuckoo Queen. It's so amazing how they react, but it wasn't quite what I imagined, but it was awesome. So that day went so well. Except for I got this horrible blister on my foot. I'm not joking. This thing is like that big, like the size of a walnut. And I thought, oh, but it was worth it. So I just popped it, got the liquid out. Sorry if I'm getting too graphic. And I was like, and Nicole and I and my mom were all on this trip, and we talked about it. We're like, you know what? This day went so well. Let's take on Disneyland tomorrow for Noli. So we did. And I did. I patched that thing up with Band-Aids and everything I could and went on and walked another 20,000-step day. And I was just so impressed that my knee held up that I didn't think about the foot. Well, the blister ended up becoming not infected, thank God, but just a huge opening wound. So I have pictures. I'm just kidding. I don't have pictures. Some people are like, oh. Some people are like, I want to see. Let me see. The nurses in here. But this wound has created a few things. And some things have kind of chain reaction effect. My leg has become swollen at some points, painful to the touch. Been concerned about going. I've gone to the emergency a couple times because they told me to come in because they were concerned about blood clots and all this stuff. I mean, this is, one, not fun getting older. Two, not being fun being unhealthy. And through this all, I'm sorry, but I am a Kaiser patient, which is frustrating because it took 3 weeks just to see my primary care doctor from the concern from the ER. So I finally saw my primary care doctor, and I know this is kind of a dragging on story, and I'm going to get to a point here. But I went to see my primary care doctor, who happens to be brand new to me. And this is the first time I've seen him. And it was interesting because I have been to doctors my whole life. And every time I go and see a doctor, especially in my adulthood, every time I've gone to a doctor, they've always said, well, you have a cough because you're obese. You bumped your knee because you're obese. Every time, it doesn't matter what the issue was, it's because I'm obese. This guy actually didn't even use the word this time, and I was so grateful. But he came in very real, because he actually took the time to look through my whole chart and see what has been going on with my life. Found out that I've been on medications that I didn't need to be, that I've been taking things that are actually causing some of the pain that I'm having. And he said one thing that drastically hit me in the heart. Now, I've been told and reminded of being a big guy for a long time, which people must not realize that I have mirrors. But so when doctors say that, hey, you're a bit overweight, really? Or you're obese, really? This guy came in and he said something to me that just hit me to the core. And it's not like I hadn't heard it before, but I think it's the way that he said it. And I think it's the way that it came across at the time it has come across. Because there's seasons in our life that change how drastic and dramatic things are. There's a lot going on in my life and in your lives. There's a lot of things that changes that we can control and changes that we can. And something that he said was, and of course I know this hit me because of the family dynamic that I'm in right now and where I'm at with my kids. He said, if you do nothing like you're doing now, if you don't make changes, he said, if you do nothing, you won't be here in 10 years. And I know this is kind of a choice, but it's been a habit and a thing that I've been doing my whole life. And you have to be real with yourself that at some point you have to make changes and it's going to be painful. But 10 years is not enough for me to know that I just want to reach. I want to reach the day that I can walk Magnolia down an aisle. And I want to reach the day that I can watch my son play with his kids. It's rough. And I'm sorry, I don't mean to break down this way, but I think that it's important that you understand changes come to us all and things happen to us all that we have to make change and be okay with it. Talk about changes being painful. One of the things that the doctor prescribed was because, and this is also something, a habit and a thing that I wasn't doing right. I wasn't checking my glucose levels on my own daily. And he goes, "What? When's the last time you checked them?" Can I look at a calendar? He says, "You know what? Forget it. I'm going to get you on this new, it's like a patch type glucose reader. I think you've probably seen them on certain people on their arms, on their backs, on their tummies. And it's very intimidating." And so he put me on it. And so if you don't mind, look, can you see it? Can you see it? Here's why I bring up that pain and change. I've been wearing this thing for a day. My doctor's probably received it on Thursday, and I'm like, I'm going to wait till Saturday. And here's the thing. That sticks into you. And talk about pain. I was so intimidated. I tried to put this on myself, and I got scared. I was like, nope, not going to do it. Nicole went on a walk yesterday, and I was watching the kids for a little bit in the morning. And when she got back, I'm like, hey, I'm going to need you to put that on me. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, I tried. I'm not going to do it. So she did it, but all through the process, she put it on me. You kind of push it on, and you have to push another button, and it goes right into that skin. And I was so scared. I'm like, okay, just do it. Right, babe? I was like, just go ahead. Okay, wait. Okay, do it. No, wait. I mean, I was legitimately concerned. I'm not a fan of needles. I'm not a fan of poking my skin. It's not fun to me. Some of you guys might think it is. I don't know. You guys are crazy ones and turn into a phlebotomist. So she does it, and guess what? It didn't hurt. It stung a little bit later, but it didn't hurt. And to the point where I actually Noli knocked it off the first one. I had to put another one on, and it works. But guess what? I'm excited. And guess what? This thing has held me more accountable than anything else in my life, because just in this one day, my blood sugar has come down so far, quite literally, and this is kind of alarming, I know, but from 380 down to 160 already. Thank you. I'm only saying that because it's told me, hey, no, I don't want that extra sweets that I usually would get. I don't want those extra things that are going to turn into the sugars that are going to affect me. I don't want the adapter buzzing at me later, you know? And big part of it is because I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to fail. I want to do right with this change, and I want to take advantage of this change. I'm going to talk about a few things. How can we make the most out of change that we're facing? And I'm going to kind of zip through this because I know I've been kind of talking already a little bit long. But the first thing is look for God in the change. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." Even in the hardest of times, we can see Jesus. And we need to look for him in these changes. Second, ask God for wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking." And to deal with change effectively, we have to ask him. We have to ask him to help us think differently. We've been so used to thinking a certain way, right? I've been so used to thinking, oh, I can just pretend to know what I'm intaking, but clearly it wasn't affecting me the right way. That we have to ask God, okay, God, I need you to tell me how to think in this regard. With this change, with whatever change is coming, am I going to oppose it? Am I going to fight against it? Do I need to drive through it? Do I need to pivot? Do I need to change direction? Do I need to juke them? What do I need to do to make this work? How do I think better and think the right way for what you want me to do in this change? Listen, the next one is listen for God's whisper. 1 Kings 19, 12 through 13. After the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in the cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Like Elijah, we found God's brightness inside often comes in our darkest days. But God doesn't often yell, he whispers. We need to listen to what God is saying to us. Sometimes he does yell, but most times it's in a quiet whisper. Next thing is, don't ask why, ask what. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. This is in Philippians 4:12. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. The most important question we can ask is what? God, what are you trying to teach us? What are you trying to help us know and learn? Some things you can only learn through experience. Some things we can only learn through experience. And we will either hate it or we will grow from it. Focus on what never changes. Psalms 33:11 says, "The Lord's plan stands firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken." He never changes. The next one would be, don't face it alone. Ecclesiastes says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. I'm going to pause for a second because here's what I needed you guys to get. And maybe this is the community pastor in me. Maybe it's the life groups pastor in me. But we can't do change. We can't do obstacles. We can't do difficulties on our own. And guess what? We are facing big changes in our lives. And I could actually say we collectively are facing a big change in our lives. Now, I said at the beginning that this applies to me. And if you're wondering if Pastor Morgan is concerned about changes that are coming, sure I am. But I'm excited too. I'm excited for the changes that are to come. I'm excited for, I might be boasting a little bit here, but guess what? I serve as the associate pastor to the new president of Open Bible. That's kind of cool. Now, I don't know what's to come, but here's what I do know, is that our pastor right now is going to become president of a denomination, of a group of people, of a community of people. And I saw and I got to witness as he was elected in, and as I heard and oversaw and saw hundreds of other pastors cheer because he was their choice. And listen, I bring this all up right now, not because I'm trying to make him big-headed, me big-headed, and make light of anything, but what I do bring it up for is this. Changes are coming. And we got to be excited about it. And we have to be ready for it. And we have to make sure that we don't do it alone. Because regardless of what we believe, God has called us here to be part of a community, a part of a church body. He didn't call us to be congregants of Mike nor Toon. And I believe wholeheartedly he believes that same thing. And so I'm going to say this out loud. We have to band together and go through this change together because that's what it says. Two are better than one, and we need it. It's not our normal way of dealing with things. It's not our normal way of how we function. I know me, as a man, as a person, when things are hard, I want to retreat. I want to hide. I don't want to face them. I don't want to admit that I have a sugar glucose problem. I don't want to admit that I have a wound on my foot. I don't want to admit that I'm hurt. But we have to, because we can't do and we can't get better on our own. We need our family support. We need our community support. We need our doctor support. The other thing that doctor told me is like, I don't know you very well, but I care about you. And I care about you because you have two little kids and I want to see you around for them for a long time. And he goes, you're going to have to do the heavy lifting, but I'm going to be here to support you. And I actually believe him for once. It made such a difference. We cannot be alone in this. Become a promise person is the next one. There are 7,000 promises in the Bible waiting for us to claim them. Call out and claim those. Ask God for those promises. And lastly, tell God you trust him no matter what. We have people in our church and our denomination that are making decisions, and our community making decisions, and we have to trust that God is working in them to bring us exactly what we need, to bring our community exactly what he has planned. And I have to choose God, or choose to trust God, regardless of what I'm facing. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. For I know, now you guys have all heard this one. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I have sent you into exile. We hear that scripture. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not to hurt you, to give you a future and a hope. But we have to remember that we have to go through some other things too. God's plans are good, and he plans to help us. When the people of Israel were exiled into Babylon, everything they knew was turned inside out, their homes, their families, and even their worship. And so Jeremiah came with the word of hope for hopeless people. He told them to build, plant, and pray. Build, plant, and pray. You see, change and us taking on change is going to require action. It's going to require putting a needle in my arm. It's going to, the right way, the glucose, sugar monitor. It's going to require me taking my medicines. It's going to require me to watch what I'm eating, to turn down that little Snickers bar, to have a few cashews instead of something I'm not supposed to have. It requires action. So he told him to build, plant, and pray. Even though they were in a strange place, he told them that. Even though they had been taken captive, he is encouraging them to bloom where they are and where they are planted, to make the best of things, to thrive despite their present situation, to trust in God. And because of this, they will always have hope. In this life, we face all kinds of difficulties. People we love will pass away. Divorce will occur. Friends will abandon us. And situations will change. But God is always, always, and forever the same. What did Jesus tell his disciples before he was arrested? He said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. But take heart. I'm sorry. And then he said, and in this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. See, Jesus is stronger than our greatest fears. Jesus is stronger than any barriers we may get thrown our way. Jesus is stronger than hell. And Jesus is stronger than death. And he has overcome all of them. So any change that comes our way, he will defeat. He will get us through. He will process us through it in the way that he best sees fit. It's not gonna feel comfortable. It's not gonna feel nice. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna be painful. But he is with us no matter what through it. Can I get an amen? Will you bow your hearts with me, please? Father God, we know change is inevitable. We know that you have always known it and always had a plan for us through it. We know you have our best at your will, Father. We know you have our needs met. We know you have our desires looked at and received. Father, we know that it won't be easy, but we know that it will be easier with you. So God, I just encourage my family here, my community here, to band together, to come up shoulder to shoulder, and take on any changes that we might face. Lord, we know you love us, that you have plans for us, not to harm us, but to further us, to proceed us in so many awesome ways. Lord, help us make and take on the heavy lifting of changes that we need to do. Help us to be thorough with what you have given us. And Lord, to be wise, to plant, to build, and more than anything, to pray and seek you. So, Father, we seek you. We cry out to you, and we call out to you. In your name we pray. Amen.